Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this day. I thank you for your spirit here moving amongst us, touching lives, healing, delivering, setting free. And Father, we want to take a moment and acknowledge you, and we want to hear what you're saying. We want to turn to hear it. We want to turn and then see, and we want our lives to be changed today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been talking over the past few weeks and that about the Holy Spirit that's resident inside each of us, right? It's a 2 Corinthians says it's a treasure inside of us, inside. It's an earthen vessel, right? And so I've been, you know, in this journey since we started making the shift from the old building now into this building. And I keep asking the Lord about change, right? Because everybody's in the midst of change somehow, right? There's change all around us. And so for me, I keep asking him, what are you saying here? What are you saying? And so the thing that I keep hearing is from him, and I heard it before we knew we were going to end up with a lease issue in the old building. I heard the Lord out of Isaiah 30, verse 15. Okay, and that verse says, in verse 15 says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence, you shall be your strength." And then there's this little verse there, just sandwiched right in that. It says, "But you would not." And I always said, "God, why? Oh, that's all. Are you talking to me?" "But you would not." And so, I've been endeavoring in the midst of the change, in the midst of it, to keep coming back to God in this place of quietness and confidence and in rest and returning. Okay? So let me kind of fill you in on a few things. Returning. That word is to turn back, to turn away, to recall, to recompense, to recovery, to refresh, to restore, to turn away, to turn back, to turn from, and to turn to. And then my favorite part, it says, "Say nay." I don't really know what that means, but I love it. Say nay. So I started saying nay to stuff. Say nope, nope, nay, not going to happen. I don't know what this happened, but we're going to say nay here, right? So that's returning. Returning is a place of changing the way you're doing something, changing the thing that you're doing or the method in that. And so rest, the root word of rest is to settle down, right? To settle down. It's to let fall, which that's the hard one for me. Some things you have to just let fall. You can't do anything about it, let it fall. Let it alone. There's another difficult one. How am I going to let go and let something fall and let it alone? That doesn't seem like rest. It seems like catastrophe, right? And it says, cease, remain, and to set down. So I've been saying, God, in the midst of change, and again, most of this stuff has nothing, for me, has nothing to do with a building or the stuff. It has to do with me. So I'm the one not at rest, or I'm the one who needs to return. So I'm always in the midst of it, in the midst of what's happening, because the stuff happening doesn't really matter to God. Right? Remember when in 1 Samuel, God tells Samuel, he says, man looks at the outward, right? But God looks at the heart. So God's, let me tell you something, God's really not concerned about the outward stuff. He's concerned about how it affects your heart. So in the midst of all the change, all the building stuff, all the chairs, all the storage, all the giving away, all the sewing, and we talked about that. We talked about how much stuff and how what of a blessing it was. In the midst of it, I kept coming back to God and saying, okay, but what about my rest? Where's rest? You know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that the end of our faith, I think it's verse 9, if you got that one up. How do you guys like the monitors? Yay. Now I can say, just read it up there. It is 1 Peter 1, 9. There it is. Yeah. Receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Do you know that for God, the end journey of all your faith is that your soul is saved? And that, I mean, that to me, that's, I spent my life trying to get circumstances and situations to change and use my faith. I didn't realize that God was saying, no, what I want to change in this moment is you. And I'm going to take all the stuff that your life's connected with, right? And I'm going to either remove or, as like we've been saying in staff, I'm going to shake it. So most of us don't like shaking, right? You guys know how almond trees yield their almonds? I didn't know this, but a big giant machine comes up and grabs the trunk of the tree, right? It grabs a hold of it. I don't know how they do it. I'd love to see it. I'd love to watch it, but they grab the hold of this thing and they basically just shake the tree till all the fruit falls off. The good fruit, the bad fruit, the not ready fruit, the soon to be ready fruit, and the ready fruit all get shaken for a purpose. Right? Because imagine almonds. They're little. Even those really good ones that you buy in the store that are nicely seasoned and that, they're just little. Imagine having to go around the tree and pick all those off. It never happened. Those, you know what they would cost if they had to hand pick them off? Talk about worrying about the tariff. Worry about the labor cost, right? So the end journey of all your faith is that your soul is saved. Okay? And again, we talked 2 weeks ago, and I mentioned Hebrews 4:12, right? The Word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharp like a two-edged sword, and it has one purpose. Right? It has one purpose. It's going to show you your spirit and your soul. It's going to show you your inner man, right? The joints and the marrow, right? And it's going to show you the thoughts and the intent of your heart. Those are all soul issues, right? My thoughts and my intentions and my heart are my soul, right? My spirit and my soul. God wants me to be able to know the difference between the spirit and my soul. Right? I mean, I know everybody here doesn't know your flesh. We all know our flesh. Just go look in the mirror. Right? We look in the mirror. We see what we look like. Right? But our soul, God's got to say, I want you to know the difference between the spirit of a man and your soul. And your faith is so that your soul becomes like Jesus. Okay? Your soul, the goal of your soul is to end up looking like Jesus. Right? We're going to come into that image. So, returning. I need to keep returning my soul. Right? So, where in meetings or your discussion, and all of a sudden my soul goes, oh, And we all know when our soul is, our soul's act. Does everybody know when your soul's acting up? Let me tell you. I usually come out with a strong opinion. Right? And I'll say things like, well, you should do this. Or, I don't think we should do that. Right? And we'll have a strong opinion. We're not willing to yield. See, the spirit of a man is willing to yield. My soul doesn't always want to yield. Right? My soul doesn't always want to yield. So, but God's saying, no, I want you to yield. Another word for yield, in case you're struggling with that, a lot of us don't like yielding. When we get on the freeway, we want to go. I do not want to yield to the slow person in the slow lane. I must get on. I'll change that word to help, maybe. The word is submit. Right? That's a hard one. That's much harder than yielding. That's why I kind of pastry coated it with yielding first, but my soul doesn't want to submit. My soul doesn't like submitting. My soul likes being in charge. Right? It likes being in charge. For a lot of years before I was saved, my soul was in charge. For a lot of years after I was saved, my soul was in charge. And it's not until you can yield your soul's position before God and let him use the word of God to show you the difference. I know I walked around for years thinking that I was walking in the spirit, and I spent most of the time walking around in my soul. And you know how I know that? Because there was no conflict. There was no conflict in my soul. It's not until your soul gets pierced by the word of God, right, that all of a sudden I realize, ooh, I see what you're trying to show me what you want in this position, right? And what's he showing you? The word of God in John 1 says that the word of God is Jesus, right? Take all of chapter 1, condense it down to one thing. Right? The word of God equals Jesus. So the word of God is conforming me into the image of his son. Right? And there's not a person here that doesn't want that. Right? Everybody wants to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. But my soul gets pulled and it's struggling in positions to not want to give up its control, right? That's why I need to return. I need to come back, okay? So that returning is to turn back to that place, okay? It's to me, it's real similar to forgiveness, right? Forgiveness is to think a new thought, to think differently. Well, this is to return to God in this. So, and rest is to settle down. So in that place, in returning to God, coming to him and coming into rest, letting go, what am I letting go of? My strong opinions. The place that my soul says, we can't yield that. We have to let that go. I know, isn't this a great word? It's so much fun. But in that, it says that you get salvation. Right? It says that you're saved. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. That's not one time. That's every time. Every time I come back to the Lord, I can receive salvation again. Right? I can receive all that salvation has. Okay? Then it says, quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And we all want strength, right? Yeah, nobody likes being weak. We all like strength. We all want to be strong. Quietness is to repose. Okay? Does anybody know what the word repose means? It's to lean back and relax. Right? That's why Lazy Boy has chairs for reposing. Okay? It's to appease. I know I love when someone appeases their position to me, right? They give up. They say, ah, I'll yield. Idleness, right? Rest, settle, to be still. And then that, the root of that word is to keep in a particular place. So the root of quietness is to keep yourself in a place, a particular place, to just be quiet there. Hold that spot. Now, when I was reading that definition, the first thing I thought of was when I was in school, elementary school, right, I was not the best student. Okay? I was a good student, but I was undisciplined in every other area of my life. And so I was constantly in trouble at school, not at home, because there were no rules at home. There was rules at school. I don't know why they put those there. It makes it so much more difficult. But I spent most of my days when all of you would be out on the recess field playing and laughing and having fun and kicking balls and hopscotching and all those fun things. I spent most of my life, pretend this is a wall. I spent most of my life with my nose on a wall. Okay? Okay, and some of you know, you lived in the same era. Ronan probably knows he lived in the same area of in Massachusetts as I. Is that was a place of discipline, right? That was a place. And what they were trying to do was keep me in a particular place, right? And just keep my nose against the wall. Half an hour later, they let you go, and I go back into class. Lunchtime comes, something went wrong between lunch, there you were, nose against the wall. Keep me quiet in a particular place. Okay, God's much nicer than that. He doesn't, well, I'm not saying God hasn't put me up against the wall a few times. But, and so in quietness, being kept in a particular place, and in confidence. Confidence is trust. And when I read that, I was like, oh, that's why you've kept me in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. My version of that is now is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yield all my strong opinion. That's good. Right? Yield my strong opinion. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Right? I don't have to keep bringing him my stuff and saying, what about this? He goes, I'm not worried about your stuff. I'm worried about your heart. It's a heart issue. If you can yield the stuff, I can talk to your heart. Right? You get strength. You get strength from being yielded, quiet, kept in a particular place and trusting him. That word strength is not like might, like that. It's really a position. It's like, you know, when it says that the term is force, valor, victory, mastery, might, mighty power, and the root of it is a warrior, okay, a champion, a chief, a giant, okay, it's the mighty man. When I see that, I think of how the Israelites must have stood seeing Goliath coming for the first time. Right? Because he was a mighty man. He was a warrior, a giant. Right? That's the root of that kind of strength. It's a position. It's more a position than it is an ability. Okay? So God's saying, be quiet, stay in this place, be at rest, right? Return to me. I'll give you trust. And you'll have a strength. You'll have a position that keeps you in strength, right? So that's what that. But it says, but you would not, right? And what do we say? Oh no! Every time you come, Lord, I want to yield. See, it's easy in worship when it's all big and that I yield it all, Jesus. I give it all away. You know, change me, mold me, make me, right? And you realize all that praise is a prayer? And God's up there going, got it. Brian said, mold me, make me. Don't listen to what I want. Do what you want. Your kingdom come. Worst prayer ever. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth, that's where I'm at. He's saying, oh, yeah. No, we could take note of that. Take note of that. There's going to be a day we're going to just interject our strong opinion to come against his strong opinion. And let's see how he chooses to yield. Let's choose how he'll rest, be kept in this spot. Right? Because that's what it says the next verse in Isaiah says. It says, but you say, I change that to I say. I say, no, no, no. I will flee on horses. Take my strong opinion and I'll flee on horses. Right? Therefore, you shall flee. Lord says, okay, go ahead. Run. Run. Go as far and as fast as I'll be here when you get back. Better yet, I'll be there when you get there. Right? And I say, I will ride on fast horses, swift horses. And he says, therefore, all that's pursuing you will ride on swift horses. Right? I'm like, well, that's not a good word, Jesus. He goes, 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. See, I've always thought it's one that make 1,000 flee. Which it is, but here he's saying 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, right? See, when I'm not in my confidence in God, when I'm not holding that place, when I'm not returning to him, I have nothing to keep me from just crumbling under that, right? And at the threat of 5, you will flee, right? Till you are left on a hill like a pole on a hill. You know what a pole on a hill is good for? Nothing. There's no light on the hill. There's no city on a hill. There's just a pole, right? Me and my strong opinions and my must-haves not yielding leaves me pretty much, as he's saying, all by yourself, right? Don't worry, it's going to get better. I'm going to change. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14 says, but their eyes. And see, I always try to make scripture when I'm reading it about me, not somebody else. So I says, my eyes were blind until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Jesus Christ. See, my blindness, my inability to see me in my soul, right? My inability to see the things that are coming to get me. See, the Word of God is so strong. It's so powerful. It's meant to divide my soul and let me see it. It gives you the ability to see who you are, right? Yeah. To see who you are, so you can then submit to God that who you are, so that you can be changed. But most of the time, I walk around blind. I don't see who I am. It's not until conflict, right? It's not until something shows up. And all of a sudden I go, wow, I didn't really want to be that way. I didn't want to be stubborn, right? Or I didn't want to speak in this tone, right? But God's like, no, see, I'm showing you that. I'm removing, as it were, the blinders so you can see. Because when you see, it's God's determination in this place, right? Let's read on. But even into this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. See, so my mind is blinded, right? I can't see. That word blind means like a stone. So my mind is like a stone. It's that word comes from that word comes petrified. Right? And then I didn't know this word. It's indurate. Anybody know indurate? Good, I wasn't alone. I had to look up the word indurate, which means hardened. Right? And then this part says, and it says this in the definition. It says, to render stupid or callous. Right? That's my mind. Right? There's a veil over my heart that my mind now all of a sudden in certain, it's not in everything. I don't walk around like bumping into walls. I'm not blind. But what I'm saying is there's places in your soul. Now, there's places, and I'll make it easy on everybody. There's places in my soul that are blind to what God wants to do, right? And until I turn in return, right, then the scripture says the veil is taken away, right? What am I turning and returning to? Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, right? Now, here's the scripture we all love, right? Now, the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, right? But how does the liberty come? But we, with unveiled face, behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's when I come, when I use the word caught, when God catches me in my soulish attitude or my strong opinions or in my, you know, my bad attitude or my whatever, right? When he catches me, the goal is not like, oh, you were wrong. You're such a bad person, Brian. No, right? Why do we know that? Because Romans 8:1. Help me out. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Right? There's no condemnation for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. The question is, in my strong opinion, in my bad attitude, am I in Christ Jesus? Got awful quiet. That's how I feel. Because God goes, no, wait a minute. Where are you right now? What is the place that you're holding? You know, I'm here to say that it's hard to walk in the soul and expect to receive anything from God. James, right? Anybody? I'm not calling everybody James. Remember James, the book of James? If I believe it's chapter 1, right? If you're double-minded, right, you won't receive anything from God. You know what that word double-minded means? Double-souled. That's to have two souls. It's the word psuche. It's my soul. It's who I am. If I'm double-minded, I can't receive anything from God. So what is his goal for my soul? Who is this, Dr. Seuss?
Yes.
Yes. It's for me to turn and return to him so that the veil is taken away. I see Jesus. I submit my soul at that point to the Word of God, right? I believe he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above more than he's asked of me in that moment. He's able to change me into, as it says here, from one glory to the next glory, into the image of the Spirit of the Lord, his Son. See, that's the end goal of it, right? To be changed, right? But it's our soul that's being changed, right? Let's go back to K through 3 Sunday school classes. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body, right? You are a spirit. Everybody knows that. You are a spirit. You have a soul. The spirit and the soul are your inner man, right? The outer man is your body. God's changing us. He's not changing this. Yeah, he will. There'll be a day in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, we'll all be changed. We used to have that sign on the nursery. Right? They'll all be changed. Lighten up. It's Sunday. This is a good day. So it's the goal of God to change me. He's not changing this here. He changes this up there. I get a new body. Praise God. Say it with me. Thank you, Jesus, for a new body.
Thank you, Jesus, for a new body.
Right? And I already have an alive spirit. So what's left? The soul. That's what he's working on here. At least for me. You guys engage with him any way you choose. But for me, that's what he's always after. He's always asking, going, Brian, why did you say that? Why did you speak that tone? Right? You know, we used to always wear, remember we always had the what would Jesus do? Bracelets, little rubbery things, never fit my fat hand. You know, they fit my wrist, but I couldn't get them over my fingers because they're like sausages. But what would Jesus do? Right? We used to always do that. Now I'm always like, what would you have me do? What do you want me to do here? That's returning. That's where you find that rest, is in returning, yielding my soul. Father, here I am. Messed it up again. Not messed it up in punishment, but messed it up because, again, I chose to walk out my soul as opposed to slowing down. Get into a quiet place. Right? All of you guys who have had to spend many hours on the wall, no, you're going to be quiet. That's how you'll go to prayer tomorrow, like, okay, I got to get quiet. Kept in a spot. So this has been my prayer, and I'll end with this. I've been out of these scriptures for months, I've been saying this simple prayer. Jesus, every place my mind is blind from seeing you, where my heart is still veiled by my mindsets, my traditions, from lies and from trauma, help me to continue to turn and return to you so that I may see you, your Son, where the glory is, and be changed and receive salvation, quietness for my soul, strength and rest in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.